Welcome to the Freedom Conversation Podcast. Today it is September 18th, 2024. My guest today is James Corbett. He has been an alternative media presenter for 17 years. CorbettReport.com is his website. There you'll find his outstanding interviews, podcasts, and documentaries such as Who is Bill Gates? Welcome back to the Freedom Conversation Podcast, James.
Thanks for having me back, David. But let me immediately correct you. It's not the 18th, it's the 19th.
Oh, right. You're in Japan.
The dateline, huh?
Yeah. It's so confusing organizing with people in Japan. And I do talk to someone else named James in Japan. So it's kind of funny. But it's like tomorrow there or something. Anyway. Yeah, no. Okay. Would you like to say anything else? I invite you to say anything else about your work, your podcast, maybe this event that you have coming up with Lisa Myron. I noticed that she was just on my show. Is there anything you'd like to say about your stuff?
Sure. For people who don't know, I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, C-O-R-B-E-T-T report.com. And if you've never checked out my work, I invite you to do so. It's all 100% freely available. I've been doing this for 17 years, so I have a lot to say on a lot of different subjects about politics and society and philosophy and history and science and absolutely anything else that crosses my mind or tickles my fancy. And on that note, as you say, I'm preparing for all sorts of events and speeches and what have you. I just gave a speech at a live stream for the World Council for Health about the United Nations One World Government agenda. I will be at the International COVID Summit in Tokyo next week. So there's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. Okay. Well, we're going to be talking about transhumanism. So I think that what we should do is just have a broad stroke of what is transhumanism. And then I'm going to pull a few threads and then we'll have a great discussion about some elements of transhumanism. So maybe you could want to just say a few sentences and when you think transhumanism, broad strokes, what is it in your mind?
In a nutshell, I'd say transhumanism is the quest to merge our biological and digital identities, in the words of Klaus Schwab of World Economic Forum fame. That's what he talked about, and that's what transhumanism is aiming at. Eventually, to meld us in with this technology that increasingly surrounds us and pervades our society, but it hasn't quite entered our skin yet. But it is heading there. I mean, 10, 15, well, 20 years ago, saying that you would be carrying essentially a little mini computer tracking device around in your pocket everywhere you go might have sounded science fiction enough. But these days, the equivalent is to say, well, pretty soon there will be some form of embedded chip in your skin that will be directly wired into the internet, etc. And people will think, oh, that's crazy sci-fi stuff. What, did you get that from Black Mirror? No, that is the ultimate end goal of a number of people who are working towards this diligently and have been for some time. I will note that Eric Schmidt and co-author Henry Kissinger have written, I think, a couple of books now about artificial intelligence. The posthumous last Kissinger work will be published in the, I think, next month or in November, about Genesis, about the AI godhead that is coming, and other clowns like Ray Kurzweil and others, who is not some insignificant player, but was the chief technologist for Google, Alphabet, whatever, has had a lot to say about this over the years. The idea that we will eventually merge with technology itself to become neither human nor technology, but some sort of synthetic hybrid between the two. At least that's the idea.
Oh, great. Yeah. So I'm interested in this aspect of transhumanism called psychological or cultural transhumanism. And maybe I'm coining that. I don't know, but it's an element of transhumanism, obviously. And what I'm going to lay out for us here is this concept of a cultural, education, and media industrial system prepping people to merge with the machines. People are beginning to call it the body disassociation industrial complex. I'd like to share a screen and show you two very quick Wikipedias. One moment. Clicking share. Here we go. Here it is. This is a philosopher named Jean Baudrillard, French sociologist and philosopher. He died in 2007. He was interested in cultural studies, et cetera, et cetera, and culture, media, and so on. But this right here, simulacra and simulation. I clicked that. This is one of his ideas, and it's a treatise he wrote in 1981, in which he seeks to examine the relationships between reality, symbols, and society, in particular, the significations and symbolism of culture and media involved in constructing an understanding of shared existence. Okay, a rabbit hole. And finally, this is another one of his ideas. Hyper-reality is a concept in post-structuralism that refers to the process of the evolution of notions of reality, leading to a cultural state of confusion between signs and symbols invented to stand in for reality and direct perceptions of consensus reality. Hyper-reality is seen as a condition in which, because of the compression of perceptions of reality in culture and media, what is generally regarded as real and what is understood as fiction are seamlessly blended together in experiences so that there is no longer any clear distinction between where one ends, one begins. Good God, James, is this the clown world? I'm going to end the share. This is what they call clown world, the inversion. This is a industrial, psychological, cultural media complex. This is also transhumanism, isn't it?
It's certainly an important part of the philosophical construct that leads towards the transhumanist ideology. I will note parenthetically that if people are interested in Jean Baudrillard and simulacra and simulation, I did talk about it in my online mass media history course, which is available at newworldnextweek.com. So people can roll up their sleeves and get into the guts of that. It is some wild stuff when you start actually going through it. And I don't think Baudrillard was just talking nonsense. I think he was pointing out something that is unfortunately pervading our world more and more. The hyper-real, more real than real. And people will note that where did Neo in The Matrix hide his... he had a floppy disk or something, right, that he was hiding in a book. It was Simulacra and Simulation by Baudrillard that he hides it in, because That was one of the books that the Wachowski brothers, who are now the Wachowski sisters, made every single person working on The Matrix. They made them read Simulacra and Simulation because it was such an important part of what they were trying to convey. But unfortunately, as I say, I think Baudrillard was pointing to something real, the hyper-reality, the more real than real, the fact that we are living so much in mediated reality that we are starting to lose the sense of where one ends and the other begins. And here's one from my perspective, having been in the independent media for 17 years now, examining all sorts of conspiracy rabbit holes. And I note, for example, at least a decade ago, it was more in the zeitgeist. I'm sure it still exists to some extent. Every single time there was a shooting of some sort or something like that captured on film, there would be someone examining the footage of that incident to go, well, that's not real. That's a squib. That can't be of someone really getting shot, because you didn't see the blood splatter everywhere and it's not pouring out of them like in some Tarantino movie. Because unfortunately, again, how many people have watched someone get shot, and how many people have watched someone get shot in the movies? So you know what it looks like because you've seen it in the movies. And if real life doesn't look like what it looks like in the movies, then it's not real. So you start to see where this confusion can start leading people down these weird rabbit holes and start to literally confuse our understanding of reality itself. And play that out on the cultural level, that leads to some very deep, very weird confusions that take place.
Yeah. And just to pull another thread of the psychological elements of transhumanism, the mental health industry is one of the mechanisms that is now breaking us from our human condition. It is causing barriers between parents and children, between our souls and our bodies, and making feelings the very essence of being human an illness. So this cultural, the DEI, cancel culture, and I was thinking about cancel culture. And if you really think about this term, transhumanism, you would like to cancel the culture, which makes me wonder, could there be a Marxist centralization element to some of this stuff, do you think, in your mind?
Yes, a Marxist, neo-Marxist, postmodern. Unfortunately, so many of these words get bandied about without real context behind them. And I think people think they know what they mean. Again, hyper-real. I know what that means. I've heard people talk about it. Have you actually read any of this? So I think a lot of those words have so much baggage and association that it's not worth really teasing that out. However, let's look at it for what it is. And yes, there is clearly an attempt to break down fundamental distinctions in our society. And that is clearly a part of what was the philosophical postmodernist movement, which was all about taking binary structures, light, dark, day, night, black, white, up, down, and saying, yes, our entire perception of the universe is based on these binary structures. But in reality, well, what's What's dusk? It's neither day nor night. What's dawn? It's neither day nor night. There's always some space in between that isn't accounted for in this binary. We have to deconstruct these binaries in order to actually understand the real world, etc. And again, there is certain sense and truth to what they were talking about. But when that plays out on the political and cultural level, what does that mean? Well, it starts to mean that we start making, well, you can't make distinctions about any man, woman. What is a woman? So this is the place that it leads us to. And it would be, I won't say fine enough, it would be terrible enough if that was simply all that was happening. But I think there is clearly a sense in which this breakdown of our ability to distinguish and discern in the world is being done deliberately to lead us in a certain direction towards a certain goal, to prepare our minds, essentially. And in my mind, that is for the transhuman future. Whether or not that is a total pipe dream that will never come to reality, I think we are being prepped at any rate to be willing to accept ultimately the brain chip or whatever form it will take. And I don't know about you, but I'm happy with my humanity. I don't want to give that up, but we are getting prepped and conditioned for the fact that it won't even be a choice. Humanity, non-humanity, what's the difference? You wear glasses. That's a type of technology that you use to transform your human body. It's been around for centuries. What's the big deal? We have all sorts of technologies that we use to enhance our bodies in various ways. Well, now we're going to start doing it on the genetic level. We're going to have these mRNA vaccines that will start manufacturing proteins. We'll have, you know, whatever. You can grow your hair back for you, James. Won't you want that? And that is, unfortunately, what we've been prepped for. So, yes, cancel culture, as in cancel what we have known for centuries or millennia or all of human existence in order to bring in the new.
Yeah, like rearranging body parts is quite normal now. Children in many cases are choosing a path of lifelong surgeries and pharmaceuticals, and they're sort of chained to a surgical gulag for life, as Jennifer Bielek so eloquently puts it. But here's another question for you, James. I'd like to look at the forced convergence that could be coming, breaking the body and breaking the mind. What crisis do you think will be the one that pushes us over the edge into the transhumanist nightmare future?
Well, before we get to that point, let's not elide over that word that you just used, which is an important word, convergence. Convergence is one of those, I've talked about it before on my Solutions Watch podcast, one of those magic words that when you know a certain term, suddenly it opens up all of this research and all of this rhetoric that's going on that you had no idea about. So no, it's not chemtrails, it's stratospheric aerosol injection. And when you start using that, you can suddenly find all this information. Convergence is another one of these words, specifically biodigital convergence. And if you are interested in that, and hey, if you're Canadian, you might be interested in Policy Horizons Canada, which, for people who don't know, is a future think-do tank that is affiliated with the Canadian government, which a couple of years ago, 3 years ago now, released a document on exploring biodigital convergence, which I would very much commend to people's attention if they're interested in this subject. It goes into exactly what we are talking about. And the crazy world of the future that we're going to be living in which whatever drones will be able to take our samples of our blood and upload them to check how our genetics are playing out and whether we need, you know, an update to our genetic vaccine or whatever, and all of this crazy stuff. Buildings will construct itself out of organic material, you know, whatever. They're talking about this. Exactly right. And probably the most important and revealing part of that entire document comes in section 3 on conceptual convergence of biological and digital systems, where they say, as we continue to better understand and control the mechanisms that underlie biology, we could see a shift away from vitalism, the idea that living and non-living organisms are fundamentally different because they are thought to be governed by different principles. Yeah, the idea that there's a difference between me and this table, or actually the table used to be a living thing. It's made out of wood. How about this? How about between me and this plastic object? There's no difference. It's all just matter. It's all just compounds and chemicals. And we can create any of it. We can create, obviously, chemical matter, plastics and what have you. We can also create life. What's the big deal? You know, whatever. It's all the same. It's all just chemicals, and you can break it down. Anyway, that seems to me the direction they're going. Try to break down the concept of vitalism, the idea that there is a distinction between life and non-life. Yeah, I tend to think there is a difference. And consciousness, maybe let's throw that into the mix. Mm-hmm. But anyway, how do we get from here to there? What kind of events could lead us in that direction? Unfortunately, like the sky is the limit when it comes to their crazy dreams of whatever transhuman future we're going to be steeped into, the sky's the limit with regards to that, because something that I've pointed out many times and will continue to point out is when there is a goal of some sort, people can work towards that goal by employing a strategy that is unfortunately extremely effective, and that is to frame every single problem within the framework of the narrative that implies that your goal is the solution. So, for example, just as an example of that, let's say that you want to empower and give a big shot in the arm, so to speak, to the police state and the Big Brother surveillance state and the all-knowing, all-pervasive control grid of spying on everyone all the time. And a problem like, I don't know, September 11th happens. Oh my God, you saw what happened there, guys, right? What we need is more surveillance, more control. We didn't have enough surveillance and control and intelligence and all of this. So we need to give more money and more power to the NSA and all these spying apparatus. And we need to listen to every phone call and read every email. And we need more power. And that's an example of how this works. Whatever the problem is and however that problem manifests, the solution is going to be what you have in mind. In that regard, if the solution that these people want is the breakdown of vitalism, the transhuman nightmare future, ultimately getting chips in brains and being able to control people at a nanobiotech level, then any problem that results is going to see, well, here's the solution. So let's look at a very specific case study. Go back to October 2019, and the Milken Institute was holding a talk with high-ranking luminaries in the U.S. biosecurity complex, like Anthony Fauci, like Dr. I always forget his name, I think it's Rick Bright, who was at that time the director of BARDA, the Bio Advanced Research Development Agency, currently with the Rockefeller Foundation, and a gaggle of those types of people were talking about the problem of creating a universal flu vaccine, because we don't have a universal flu vaccine. We have all, you know, you can get, you have to essentially, you have to war game out, okay, is it going to be a type A or a type B this year? And we'll guess it's going to be this. And when they have to develop it and on, you know, using eggs to culture the, that's such an outdated system. But these wonderful new technologies are coming along, like genetic vaccines and mRNA vaccines and all of these other exciting things. But they say in that conversation in October of 2019, you know, the problem is it's going to take at least a decade and billions of dollars of studies and research and looking into long-term health effects. And you know, a lot of companies aren't going to be incentivized to do this. So what we really need is some sort of real big panic and scare about the flu or some sort of spreading pandemic so that we can use the government to step in and speed this process along. They say that in their own words. Don't take my word for it. It's on C-SPAN. You can go watch it for yourself right now. And lo and behold, a couple months later, the big problem of the COVID scamdemic comes along and gives them exactly what they want, to warp speed the vaccines straight from the Trump administration, straight into everybody's arms. Yay! Wonderful. And that is exactly how this works. And that is one example of a step towards that transhumanist future. Because when we start talking about, hey, if they came to you and said, hey, we want to inject something in your body that's going to hijack your cells, essentially, to start creating whatever random protein we tell it to create and whatever else happens as a result of that, who can tell? People would rightly go, no, thank you. I think I'll sit this one out. But frame it in the context of an emergency. Oh my God, the deadliest scamdemic of all time. Oh, you all have to run to the hills. If only something could save us. Hey, we have this idea. How about this? And frame it in the right way and people will accept it.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned consciousness there, and you also mentioned Ray Kurzweil. So I have a theory that we have a scam cooking with these guys, or they really believe it, which is even more scary maybe. But he talks a lot about, and I've watched 6 hours of his interviews to prepare for some questions for you. And here's one that I got. he's repeating these narratives over and over about how, oh, we've invented a computer that can beat a human at chess. And it's like, excuse me, this is all you got? And they're talking about all of this crazy future, and the only thing that they've have built is this thing. But, and he's also talking about how he wants to have nanotechnology inside our neocortex, and that somehow is going to help us connect to the machines, and upload the mind and live forever, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. James, this is propaganda for something else, right? This is bullshit. This cannot happen. Separate the mind and body? It can't happen, right?
Well, propaganda simply means to try to convince someone of something, whether true or untrue. And in this case, I mean, do they really believe it? I think, again, the they, them, those of this global conspiracy are not an homogenous, monolithic unit, that they all think the same and all believe the same and are all coming from the same perspective. I think there are true believers within that gaggle, including, I think, Kurzweil probably truly believes what he's saying, and that makes him more effective as a propagandist, as a salesman. Essentially, he's trying to sell the public on a vision for the future that will be so wonderful and so convenient. And I think it, obviously, everyone out there can come to their own determination of how much they think this is BS and how much they think this is actually something that could come to fruition. Personally, I think Kurzweil is crazy and a madman on a lot of things. But one thing that I think he is right about is the exponential development of technology. Mm-hmm. And that we as human beings, just regular people in the regular world in our everyday lives, do not have brains that are wired to understand exponential development. We are wired to see things grow linearly. So we expect, oh yeah, okay, I see this and I can project that out in the future and it'll look like this. So someone in the 1920s might have thought, hey, look at those blimps. I bet you in 50 years, there's going to be fleets of blimps going across the Atlantic, ferrying people back and forth. We could laugh at that. But of course, if we were in the 1920s, we might be persuaded by that, right? Because we cannot think about the development and the exponential growth and how that transforms things fundamentally. Again, as I say, 20 years ago, try telling people about the smartphone revolution and the way it would fundamentally transform our daily lives from the ground up. And people might have laughed at you. Well, here we are. So, unfortunately, I think there really are incredible, mind-bending technologies on the way, perhaps already developed, although they wouldn't be released to the for public commercial use, first and foremost, would they? They would be, of course, hoarded for the military and the intelligence complex, as they always are, and used as weapons in the fifth generation warfare on everyone that is taking place right now. So, I wouldn't poo-poo the ideas of some of these technologies altogether. But even if you do, and even if you say it's all nonsense and they can never develop anything that will do anything like what they're saying, at the very least, they can do a hell of a lot of destruction to the human species. So again, even if you think, oh, mRNA doesn't exist, DNA isn't a thing, all of that's phony baloney nonsense. Well, okay, whatever. But at the very least, can we all agree that it still does incredible damage to human beings and that we should be concerned about that? Because yes, it seems to me that, again, the brain chips and whatever else, to whatever extent they do or do not function, will undoubtedly function in the sense of disrupting our cognitive abilities and our ability to function as human beings. And that seems to me to be the important part of this. So yes, I think, unfortunately, this is coming through the pipeline of development. And I think there are people who actually truly believe they're going to be uploading their consciousness and all of that. But it doesn't really matter if that's true or not, or whether they truly believe it or not. It still amounts to the same thing, which is essentially an attack on humanity.
Yeah, the attack and deconstruction of all aspects of humanity. Yeah, you mentioned some of these guys are real true believers. And I think Martin Rothblatt is one of them. He's like the arch transhumanist high priest psycho. And he uses terms like we can transcend fleshism, as if he believes. Oh my God, he's nuts. And he says that robots are people without skin. And he has a cult called the Terra Sim Movement. Do you know about that? I got a wiki just real quick one I'm going to share. One more time, last share. Here it comes. And I'm going to open this here. Bang, the Terra Sim Movement. Now this, my friends, anybody should check this out and just read some of this stuff. It is insane. Oh my God. Like current projects include LifeKnot, a long-term research study that offers a free online repository of individual digital reflections, yada, yada. this robot stuff. He's building, his wife is a robot and all this now. And he is a woman now also, by the way. It's just,
I was going to say, are you assuming her gender? It's Martine.
Sorry, yeah, Martine. Right. Yeah. Anyway, this is just a crazy rabbit hole. This cult, this transhumanist religion. Oh my God, it's crazy. Okay, so that's the last thing I wanted to just share, just to demonstrate some of the craziness going on in this. Like, I think, like you say, there's people who will work together, billionaires who just want the money. Let's roll out the technology. As long as I get my piece, I don't care. And then there's the true believer, crazy people who are like, let's just do it and whatever, bring in the new world. And I think that they both agree on something.
Yeah.
Like experimentation. Experimentation is totally fine.
And it's not just those ones. There's also people who genuinely want a culling of the population, genuinely want to see mass billions of people ultimately slaughtered and die. And I have talked about that many times. I've documented the various, I think it was Rich Pianka at the University of Texas and others who have hailed these wonderful super bioweapons that will eventually rid the planet of pesky humans and all of this. I mean, there's all sorts of people who all converge, to use that word, on this idea of transhumanism, because it's unfortunately kicks the can further down the road. But yes, there certainly are true believers, and in some ways they are the most frightening, because I think they are absolutely fundamentally ideologically committed to this. And for people who think that that's some sort of fringe thing, or this terracing movement, well, I hadn't heard about that, but I have heard about the way of AI, or I can't remember the name of it, but it's a religious organization that is already committed to worshiping the future AI godhead, because we know there's going to be artificial general intelligence in sometime in the near future. And when it arrives, it will be a god, because it will know everything. And with all of the knowledge, all the combined knowledge of the human species, and then whatever else it can just whip up for itself using its, you know, silicon extremities and all of the various devices all over the world, and it'll be becoming so knowledgeable all the time, it'll essentially be God, and it'll know the future and everything else. So we better start worshiping it now, so that at the very least it will be kind to us when it arrives. And, you know, like, God might be kind to his worshipers or something like that. Anyway, sounds nonsense, sounds absolutely outlandish. There are true believers who truly believe in this stuff, and yes, that is a concern, because, as you say, unfortunately it lines up with the ultimate, I think, ideology. You know, one aspect of the philosophical game that is being played here, and one thing that I think needs to be drilled down on, is that the core part of those who would poo-poo vitalism, oh, that organic, non-organic distinction, conscious, non-conscious, whatever, it's all just chemistry, it's all just chemicals, is that it is a reductionist mindset based on this picture of a clockwork universe that is simply atoms and molecules running around and bumping into each other, and they can be arranged in various formats. And you are just a collection of cells that are themselves just molecules, that are themselves just atoms, that are themselves just subatomic particles. And that's all you are. And if you could just take all of the, you know, the matter needed to create you and assemble it in the right way, that's you. And there's no difference. And that fundamental view, that is the fundamental mindset of these people. Because then you can take such things and say, well, your consciousness is not some airy-fairy spirit thing, whatever. It's just a collection of words and ideas that go around in your head. And if I can accurately reproduce them on this chatbot, then that's you. We put that in a robot body, and suddenly you are this robot. This robot is you. I think most people, when it's framed so blatantly, most people will see through it. But we're led one step along without the fundamental assumptions in this chain really ever being articulated. So unfortunately, a lot of people can end up falling for a lot of it, even if they are not true believers in the ultimate religious precepts that are going on here.
Yeah, they tried to make it sound really cool and hip and YouTube, and like Neil deGrasse Tyson and Ray Kurzweil have a big thing. And all the comments are like, this is so cool, I can't wait, and all this. And I'm like, oh my God, is this for real? These people are nuts. But I guess it's almost a spiritual thing to me. It's like the mind and the body, they're one thing. Like, separating them means death, wouldn't it, almost? So this.
Well, what's another source for the Matrix? Ghost in the Machine. And what is Ghost in the Machine? Speaking again to that exact concept, what is consciousness? What is the spirit, the ephemeral? Is there a thing that is separate from your physical body?
Yeah. No, these people are playing sick games, James. We've been at it a half hour. I've gotten through a lot of my notes pretty quick. You brought up something called the synthetic environment for analysis and simulations recently on your podcast, right, which you brought up back in 2012. I don't need to show the Wikipedia probably.
I wish the Wikipedia had any information that's actually, you know, updated. Yeah. But as I say, yeah, thank you for bringing that up. For people who haven't seen it, I did a report back in 2012 about the sentient world simulation, which is one of the monikers that this system was going by at that time, which was essentially this incredible, elaborate, pie-in-the-sky idea of attempting to create an entire digital model of the world and every person in the world so that they could model what was going to happen, and that they could then test, essentially war game out various ideas. So if this happened, what would happen? If this happened, what would happen? And this was being done in conjunction with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, the U.S. Department of Defense. And it was being talked about and reported on in the early 2000s, and around 2007, 2008, it got some mainstream attention, I think in Wired and some other reports that I cited. But then essentially it went, the cookie crumb trail ended, and I don't know, maybe they're not doing that anymore. They're not working on it. Yeah, they had this entire concept for an entire global digital simulation that apparently was functioning to some extent back in the early 2000s. But yeah, they just gave up on that and abandoned it. Probably not. But for whatever reason, yeah, the very latest information, even that 2016 date that they have on the wiki, I think is itself. I don't think any of the information there is any more current than 2008-09. So
yeah,
really, it's truly, it's creepy.
They put it to bed, James. They put it to bed. They put this to bed, I think.
Yeah. Just like the Total Information Awareness Office. If you do a quick wiki search on Total Information Awareness, you will find that particular DARPA program, that the iconic symbol of which was the all-seeing eye in the pyramid, irradiating the Information Awareness Office right under Echelon there. The all-seeing eye in the pyramid radiating the entire Earth. And this was something that they had set up they were already working on it pre-9/11. But obviously in the wake of 9/11.
That logo is retarded. Look how crazy that logo is. Oh, could they be any more obvious?
Exactly. It was so over the top. It was so over the top. I mean, they literally said, we want to collect absolutely everything. Personal emails, social network, credit cards, phone calls, medical records, everything that they could scoop up and construct it and use that to data mine and create maps of all people and all of their associations. It was so over the top that even the New York Times and others were reporting on this, like this crazy Orwellian program. It's being headed by this Poindexter guy who, oh, by the way, was the convicted Iran-Contra criminal who got pardoned by Bush. So crazy stuff, right?
Yeah.
That program, they said, oh, don't worry, guys. Okay, yeah, this is crazy. This is a bit creepy. Don't worry, we're putting it to bed. A couple of things about that program. One is that the day that Information Awareness Office supposedly actually formally folded is the day. Oh, sorry, I'm confusing that with something called LifeLog. LifeLog folded on the day that Facebook started. But anyway, that's a related but slightly different thing. But no, Information Awareness Office was then parlayed into Peter Thiel and Palantir. And Palantir picked up the pieces of the Information Awareness Office. I've written about that before. The ties between that is interesting and crazy. And now you've got people in the freedom movement who think that Peter Thiel and Vance and Trump are going to save them from this global agenda. Wake up, guys. It's a global agenda, and all the puppets on the global stage are part of it. Trump warp speeded the vaccines into your arms, and he is working with Thiel and all of the other global technocrats to set up the digital ID, cryptocurrency, central bank digital currency prison that will be part of this bio-digital convergence prison that they are looking to keep you locked up inside. So yeah, you're not going to vote your way out of this crisis.
No. Okay. So two more pieces and then we'll try to let you go. You're a busy man. You challenged your listeners to actually go here and just click around and see what they could dig up and get back to you. Well, I have one.
Excellent. Good.
Here's one thing. I had a few things and I got rid of them all except for this doozy right here. Synthetic psychological environment. In a synthetic environment, synthetic psychological environment, or SPE, or rules of behavior, refers to the representation or modeling of influences to individuals and groups as a result of culture, religion, and even weirder stuff, synonyms, human terrain. This is a rabbit hole of epic proportions, some of this stuff. Anyway,
modeling and simulation is incredibly important to these technocrats who want to steward over the world, and for obvious reasons. If they could crack the code, and it would essentially be like what they're talking about, the AI will know everything, will be able to predict the future. Well, if you have a big enough database, it will know everything and be able to predict the future because it knows all the connections between all of the parts of the entire human environment. So yeah, they are obsessed with this kind of stuff.
Last item on the agenda, your website. The Corbett Report, the gold standard. What are you up to here, James? This is 2 days ago. What is this now? What have you dug
Replicon,
up?
Replicon, Big Pharma preps the next bioweapon. So people who are interested in this, it is part of my subscriber newsletter, but if you want it for free, 100% totally for free, you can go to corbettreport.substack.com and it will be the second post there now. Replicon, Big Pharma preps the next bioweapon. You can read the report that is about not mRNA vaccines. No, they're already moving beyond that into self-amplifying mRNA vaccines. So we know the concept of the mRNA vaccine. They send this messenger RNA or modified RNA into you to hijack your cells to start producing proteins or whatever else Big Pharma wants to engineer into your system. The self-amplifying mRNA vaccine will include a Replicon protein. I can't remember the exact
the
term.
The fact that they're calling it Replicon.
Yes. Yeah, I know. It's again, it's the kind of sci-fi stuff that swirls around this that makes it actually does make it difficult to talk to normies about because what are you? You're watching some kind of Black Mirror episode.
Truth is stranger than fiction.
And so if you are concerned about mRNA vaccines and the effect they have on the human body, well, at the very least, you should be equally concerned, but probably more concerned about self-amplifying mRNA, because this includes the thing that is essentially going to start constructing the mRNA within your body that will then encode the proteins. So they only have to use a little bit, and they can have the same effect as the, you know, the regular every 3 months jab boosters, which nobody is taking because nobody wants that crap in their system anymore. But don't worry, now they're going to have this, it'll just be a one shot and it'll start producing it within your own body. What could go wrong?
Well, okay. Well, I think anybody can see that this is a circular loop. Everything we've talked about, it's all the same stew of a future that is coming. And there's no breaks, is there? Do you think? What hope is there?
Not from within the framework of the system as it has been handed down to us. And that system is unfortunately not one group, not one person, not one institution. It is an ideology. And as I say, we've talked about some of the aspects of that ideology and how deep down into the philosophy it can go, into vitalism and everything else, and how it manifests in the world. But fundamentally, I think this is about a fight between centralized, top-down, controlling authoritarian structures that believe, I think, again, there are true believers who truly believe that the best way to control society and move it in a certain direction and thus bring about the happiness of future humanity is to control that society top-down, centralized, have a few oligarchs that are technocrats that understand and know about this system, and they don't worry, they've studied, they're experts, so they can tell and essentially engineer society in the same way we would engineer a physical object. Well, that's what they are attempting to do. As opposed to that, I don't know about you, but personally, I am an individual, autonomous, sovereign human being, and in my voluntary cooperation and association or non-cooperation and disassociation from anyone that I want at any time, I think that process will lead to the actual flourishing of a truly stable long-term spontaneous order that arises from systems that are let alone, rather than trying to control every single person, which is a pipe dream. It's ridiculous, as if you could slot every person into this vast web and it will all function perfectly. We saw what that looked like when the Soviet technocrats tried to do that in Magnitogorsk and other places, where you have this, I can't remember which Adam Curtis documentary it was, maybe all watched over by Machines of Love and Grace, but they show the interviews with the Soviet technocrats, and they have these those old type of printer printouts with the sheet that unfolds. Of they were going through all this reams and reams and reams and data of information and data just to try to determine, well, how many toothbrushes should we manufacture this year, and what color and what, you know, what style? So because we're going to centrally plan and control the entire economy, so we have to know, for example, how many toothbrushes to manufacture, as opposed to allowing people to interact, transact, go out there, try something. If you're an entrepreneur, create a business, try to market your goods, try to get people to interested in your service. And if they're not, failure. Uh-oh. And there's no government, daddy government that's going to come along and help you out. You're going to have to figure it out yourselves. That is what leads to actual stable long-term order. There will be, of course, winners and losers and good things and bad things, but there will not be the insanity of a few people believing that they can control absolutely everyone and everything in the entire global economy. And oh, by the way, human DNA and everything else besides. That isn't a type of insanity. And until we confront that ideology squarely, then yes, we don't have a chance, because as long as we buy into their ideology and their pie-in-the-sky dream of the future, then we're heading along that path. And don't worry, they got it all taken care of. They'll make it as convenient as possible for you to upgrade your device to the next level and the next level until eventually it's implanted in your brain. And I don't want to go there. I think most people don't either, as long as they're aware of what is happening.
Yeah, I think that's the key, and that's a good ending comment. I think that hopefully today somebody will have find that awareness to think about these ideas and think, oh my goodness, not for me, not for my family, not for my children. Absolutely not. We're humans and we're free and we're organic and vital, as you say. So stay vital, James, stay vital, listener, and resist this stuff with everything you got. And I
stay human.
Stay human, yeah. So thanks a lot. It's wonderful to have you, and it's great. I look forward to talking to you.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, okay. And goodbye. Have a great day.
You too.
Okay, bye.